Today on Jay Sekio Live, it's Thanksgiving week, and the work of the ACLJ is needed now more than ever. We'll talk about why today on Jay Sekio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. You know, as a time and a week, as we celebrate everything we are thankful for with our families, with our friends, loved ones, I know some people have got these unbelievable restrictions that they are supposed to be abiding by, so it can be a difficult time, but it's still a time to give thanks, and we give thanks to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, Thanksgiving, regardless of who we were able to get together with, or if it was a normal Thanksgiving, which it certainly is not, and in a time when the country's kind of in turmoil about the election still, and we're involved with that, of course, at the ACLJ and the integrity of your vote. But we wanted to show you some of the unique and impactful things the ACLJ is working on right now. And the broadcasts this week are going to focus on some of the things that we do with the ACLJ, and sometimes you might rarely hear about, especially this last year, when we have impeachment and we had an election, and of course that election is kind of still going on as we speak right now. This is sometimes you don't get the same focus. We brought in a lot of new audience too because of our work on this separately from the ACLJ for President Trump as his attorneys. So there's a lot of people who are still learning about what the ACLJ really is all about, from taking on early on the deep state from the days of the Obama administration. And, of course, fighting back under the Trump administration and preparing, if necessary, to fight back against the deep state under a Biden administration. We've launched a brand new program for children, you know, that is, and it's great. I think it's really kind of like pre-K, because my daughter is kind of pre-K age. She loves it, all the way up to about like 10 years old or so, educating them. It's called Bald Beagle. You're going to learn about that in these broadcasts during the holiday. And we've also got a lot of updates on protecting the unborn that we have not gotten to recently on the broadcast. You know, there's a lot you can see at aclj.org about all the work we're doing all of the time at the American Center for Law and Justice. But we wanted to highlight some of the issues that we maybe didn't get to spend enough time on during this election year, during this time when we had so much a controversy post-election. So let me encourage you. I really want you to listen to these shows, watch these shows, share these shows with your friends and family so that they learn about the ACLJ. Now, this is a critical time for us, the American Center for Law and Justice, because it's the end of our matching challenge month of November. That ends November 30th. And what a matching challenge month is and why it's so important for the ACLJ is that we have a group of donors in a matching challenge month that agree before the month begins to match every individual donation that comes through to aclj.org. So if you make a donation right now at aclj.org and you do it because you love the broadcast, or you do it because you love the pro-life legal work we do, or the government affairs work we do on Capitol Hill, or the international work, or you just love all of it, and the constitutional protections, protecting your constitutional rights that we do at the ACLJ in the courts around the country, and of course protecting freedom around the world and defending freedom around the world. If you support the work of the ACLJ, this is a great time. If you've been thinking about it, if you're able to make a financial contribution to the ACLJ, why is that? Well, let's say you could just, you know, you're able to donate $10 right now to the ACLJ, and that's what you donate at aclj.org. That's all you're charged on your credit card. But because you did it during a matching challenge month, this month in November, it is effectively doubled. So that $10 is like $20 for us at the ACLJ. $25 is like 50. 50 is like 100. 100 is like 200. You can do the math. You understand. But it's a great time for us because if you donate, we're prepared not just for the battles we're fighting right now, but for the battles we're prepared to fight in 2021. And we are doing that as we speak right now at the American Center for Law and Justice. So let me encourage you, donate now at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
AM At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Carolyn in Texas on line one, because I think it's important to point this out. I mean, people are actually calling into this radio show right now, and we're bringing Wes Smith too, who's written about a piece about, does the Biden team plan to enable the enemy? We have to be prepared for Joe Biden as president. Right now, look at the electoral map. Does that mean that, of course, you know that we're part of the Trump legal team and that there are efforts underway, of course, the integrity of the election to make sure the legal votes are counted and illegal votes aren't counted, and that maybe that will change things? Of course, we've spent a lot of time on that. But now that Joe Biden's starting to put out names, you better be prepared, folks. So, Carolyn, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Okay, the reason I called in is I'm seeing what Jordan is seeing in the comments about people being upset with why aren't they talking about, you know, the presidential campaigns and the stuff. I think some of the listeners have joined the fray because of you guys representing the president, and that's what they know you from.
Right.
If you could talk about ACLJ and what it is, I've been a listener for 30 years, I know, but I have a feeling we have listeners who might not understand both sides. I mean, for me, I value the ACLJ side more, and that's nothing against President Trump. It's just that ACLJ is our voice, no matter what happens.
That's right. So the ACLJ, thank you, Carolyn, for saying that, because the ACLJ, if you are a listener who's kind of come on board because of the Trump years and our involvement there and our continued involvement there, by the way, and I think regardless of how the election turns out, we will still be involved with President Trump in his capacity with whatever he chooses to do if it doesn't turn out in his favor. In the courts or in the legislatures. Okay? So I want you all to know that, that have joined a listing from the Trump world, that we intend to probably still be a part of that world. And we've got a lot of legal work that we're doing on behalf of the president that isn't the stuff that's in the big in the news, but that we do on behalf of the president. So know that. But the second part is what Carolyn said. The ACLJ has existed since the 1990. Okay, we are a constitutional law and government affairs organization. We are your voice in the courts and in Washington, D.C. We represent clients at no cost. In fact, we've helped assisted about 2,000 families so far during COVID who needed assistance because of this at-home learning, but they were have students with maybe learning disabilities or individual education plans, or they had a situation where they didn't have, they couldn't afford the kind of internet speeds they would need to do from at-home learning, or the food delivery that was so important. We have handled that at no cost for about 2,000 families nationwide. We do that kind of work. We represent cities and towns at no cost. We represent individuals. We have a long record at the U.S. Supreme Court. So our voice on matters of the Constitution and government affairs and foreign policy, we have offices around the world. Of course, our European Center for Law and Justice is a recognized NGO at the United Nations. So we've been doing this for decades, from Republican administrations to Democrat administrations to getting the job done. That's what we do. To protecting your rights when it's an administration that wants to go after them, to protecting religious liberty, to protecting freedom of speech, to protecting your rights. Again, and fighting, of course, for the life of the unborn. That's just some of what we've done. I mean, I can't give you the entire, but I think Carolyn is right. And Wes Smith is a perfect example of that. Wes is joining us now. He's a policy expert with us, a former retired colonel in the U.S. military. And you wrote a piece, Wes, about what the Biden team may do to enable the enemy like Iran. Tell people about it as you start seeing these names like Jake Sullivan, who was Joe Biden's pick if he becomes president to be national security advisor. This is a guy who wrote, was an architect of the Iran nuclear deal, which has been highly criticized. As Stan said, he was likely chosen for this position because you don't have to be confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. And, the Joe Biden is tipping his hand with people like him, like Amos Hochstein, who really tipped his hand as far as the geopolitical plans for the Middle East and for Iran going forward. If Joe Biden assumes office in January, it's going back to the days of the Obama-Biden administration, Obama-Biden 2.0, where our allies like Israel could not depend on us, and our adversaries like North Korea and Iran did not fear or respect us. And the most significant tipping of the hand at this point, which came out last week, is that Hochstein stated that in a Biden administration, that they would do one of two things. They would either immediately re-enter the JCPOA with Iran, the Iran nuclear deal, or what he referred to as JCPOA minus, where, get this, if I had not read it and read the statement, it would be hard to believe. And that is, they might go in, lift all sanctions on Iran in exchange for Iran not getting rid of the violations of the nuclear deal they've done over the last 3 years, but simply stopping some of them in exchange for lifting sanctions and reaching out diplomatically. Iran, you know, is a threat not just to the region, it's a threat to the world. And they're coming in with this policy of reaching out. It's a throwback. Remember when the Obama administration freed up billions of dollars in international assets for them, delivered pallets of cash to Iran in the middle of the night. That simply enables terrorism. So Hochstein is talking about either re-entering it carte blanche or JCPOA minus, where they actually lift sanctions and Iran doesn't have to back off the progress they've made. They simply have to stop. Of course, in addition to that, the whole Middle East and the peace and progress there is up in the air as well, because Hochstein and others in the Biden team are now talking about going back in and putting the Palestinian issue at the heart of all diplomacy in the Middle East. There is a reason that the Arab nations have been lining up with the Abraham Accords and making normal relations with Israel, and that is because they are tired of sitting on the sidelines and having their own national security threatened because they can't solve the Palestinian issue. They're detaching, the Arab nations are, under the Trump administration, they've been detaching their safety and security and their economic interests in exchange for what has been for decades placating Palestinian leaders who are involved in corruption and terrorism. All of this is, elections do have consequences. These are frightful potential consequences, Jordan, under the Biden administration. It will impact negatively all the peace, the progress that's been made in the Middle East. It will embolden and enable Iran if they go through with this.
Yes, we've got some new names to announce as well. So we talked about the Tony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Linda Thomas Greenfield, who was removed from the State Department by the Trump administration as a swamp creature, now being brought back potentially by Biden as the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., which is a confirmed, has to be confirmed, and can be a cabinet position. That's up to the president of the United States. They kind of decide that. But we've got some new names as well. Alejandro Mayorkas, who was a deputy secretary of Homeland Security under Obama, is now going to be put forward as the secretary of Homeland Security. That Avril Haines, who was the deputy national security advisor, is now going to be put forward as director of national intelligence. These were all Obama people. The deputy, she's also deputy director of the CIA. So again, it's like, and I want to welcome everybody back on Facebook. It went down for a little bit. I don't think that was a political reason for that time. This time on Facebook, I think it was more of a tech issue. But welcome back on Facebook. Share it with your friends and family so more people see this. But it also seems to me like we're getting the Obama B team.
Yes.
All the deputies. They're coming back now to get their job as the top-level position. Mm-hmm. To me, that's even more dangerous because they may not be household names like some of the Obama people became, and yet they were the ones who were writing the policy for those top-level Obama people. They were the architects of these deals, and they want back in.
Yeah, and we were in a geopolitical mess.
Yeah.
We were in a military mess by the time the Biden-Obama administration ended. Going back to the JCPOA, which they want to reenter, Jordan, people need to keep in mind that the JCPOA did not forbid Iran from getting nuclear weapons. It simply postponed it for about 10 years. And during that interim time, as we inspected them to make sure they're complying with this farce of a nuclear deal, we could not inspect the military facilities, which is the logical place they would do research and development on nuclear weapons. You go down the list of the things that are On the face of them, they seem a little insane, but the real serious bottom line is that they are a threat to national security and to all the things we do in the future, not only for peace in the region of the Middle East and our Arab allies, but for us as well.
I want to make sure everybody sees your piece, too. So it's up at Facebook, and Wes will stay with us, too, and the next segment of the broadcast. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Listen, if you have some questions about the legal challenges, you can ask them. But again, we want to be as accurate as possible as representatives of the president in our other role. And I will tell you, as I told other news outlets today, that if I can't be 100% accurate right now, I'm not going to say something that is potential or what I think is going to happen. I want to be accurate. I think we're that late in the stage now where everything we say needs to be 100% accurate. And there's some kind of turmoil over the weekend in that you've seen in the news. I know you've all seen, and I don't want to really get into that or pick sides on that because that is not what we do. We don't represent the Trump campaign in that outside role. In our outside role, we represent the president in his individual capacity. President Trump, in his individual capacity, will continue to do that as in our outside role. And I want all of those new listeners, the ACLJ, and our broadcast of Jay Secular Life to understand that as well, like Carolyn from Texas said. But again, check out Wes's blog. Make sure our social media team, let's make sure it gets tweeted out from our social media accounts and put up again on our Facebook accounts. Does the Biden team plan to enable the enemy? I mean, it's very straightforward. Support the work of the ACLJ. This is a critical time to do it. We've got all these experts, all these people ready to go. We're going to be ready to go on day one of whoever's administration it is, folks.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I want to encourage everybody, too, as we're back up on Facebook and on YouTube now, and welcome those kind of new people who are interacting on YouTube. I think that's great. Parler and places like Periscope and Twitter, and of course the 1,000+ radio stations we're on each day, and Sirius XM. Make sure that you understand part of your support for the ACLJ, financial support of the ACLJ, goes to this broadcast. I mean, I wish I could turn the cameras around and show you the whole team that is here right now, but I mean, there's 10 people in the control room. There's people taking your calls. There's people making sure that this goes up live and the video's going up live. There's our producers putting the content together. There's people making sure this is going out audio-wise and everything's working correctly. I mean, the team is there. And then, of course, we have a whole social media team that cuts up the show for you after so you can get little pieces of it to share on social media, little chunks of it as well. And we're, people that are bringing in the guests, people that make sure we've got the right connection to Washington, D.C., and everything is working. All of that is because of your support for the ACLJ. Now, the core support goes to, the most of it goes to, our legal work. I'd say secondary be our government affairs work and our international work. But then it also, this broadcast, every single day, bringing you all this information. It's because of your financial support of the American Center for Law and Justice, and this is a great month to financially support the ACLJ because it's a matching challenge month, which means whatever you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled because we have a group of donors that say we will match all of the donations that came through in the month of November. But it's up to you to see how big that match is because you are the reason why they match a donation. You have to make that initial donation. Do it today at aclj.org. Even if really one of your top things that you like about us is the Jay Sekulow Live radio broadcast and television broadcast, that's a great reason to support it because it's on the air because of your financial support of the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org. Than, you brought up something interesting and I want to get back to. It goes in line with what Wes is talking about too, which is that under the Trump administration, we have fortunately got used to an administration with Mike Pompeo and Trump and Pence and their advisors who are very tough when it comes to religious persecution abroad, especially Americans imprisoned abroad. And with these other administrations and with these other people that Joe Biden is talking about, it is like pulling teeth to get the State Department engaged. And certainly, you probably won't have Joe Biden tweeting out that he's about to sanction a NATO ally like Turkey to get an American home.
Yeah, Jordan, the difference quite simply has been presidential level engagement. I mean, look, this is another example of an issue where we draw on decades of experience. We've worked on religious freedom issues across the globe, but specifically religious prisoners of conscience. So people that are being held, usually Americans, Jordan, who are being held in other places of the world on account of their faith. And look, going back through Democrat and Republican administrations, it has been like pulling teeth to get the bureaucracy and specifically to get the president to raise that to the level of their particular interest, their particular focus. And so therefore, the wheels of government did not engage as aggressively as they should have on this. Jordan, that turned on its face during the last 4 years. President Trump, I think one of the things he did most effectively is say, no, as the leader of the United States of America, when we have one of these issues, I am not going to put it on the back burner because it might upset the economic apple cart. No, I'm going to engage. And as a result, Jordan, there is a long list of resounding success where these prisoners were returned home, they were released, and they're back home now because of that. And I will just tell you, as we look forward to the next 4 years, I would hope, no matter who is president, that we would very simply look back at the last 4 years and then juxtapose that with the last previous decades and see that there has been a dramatic improvement in that track record. No matter who's president, Jordan, the model that President Trump put forward, it is just plain and simple. It's the one that America should follow going forward.
Let me just say, folks, too, and let me go to Wes Smith on this. I mean, this is a model, again, that we've gotten used to, but we know that we need to prepare for the potential of an administration that comes in and goes right back to the same old way that Republicans and Democrats in the past did it, mm-hmm. which was you got to go through all these levels of the State Department, all this diplomatic, and the president won't say anything about it. And if he does, it'll be it'll be a written statement that's kind of blah, and that you hope to God that maybe you get these people back home.
Yeah. You know, what President Trump has made very, very clear, and he's very candid, he's very direct. You know, people criticize him of not being nice to our allies and provoking our enemies. He's actually done neither of those. But he made it very, very clear, Jordan, that with people like Turkey who held, Americans and Iran and other places, it is in your best interest to support the United States as we try to look at our national security and personal interests as well. The same is true with our NATO allies. It was very clear, we will support you, we have this common defense treaty, but it is in your best interest to help the United States with our national security and other interests as well. That message has been so consistent and so clear, and it's that message and that policy that really hangs in the balance right now.
You know, Donna is on YouTube. She became a super chatter. She donated too, and I want to thank her for that. And she said, just thank you for all you do at the ACLJ. But thank you, Donna, as well. You know, a name we haven't talked about yet too, resurfacing from the Obama years, and someone we had to deal with a lot on this Iran issue. John Kerry is looking to make a comeback, Than, as this time climate czar. Now, this goes back again to those Georgia Senate races and the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal could go right through Congress if Chuck Schumer becomes the majority leader, Than, of the U.S. Senate. I don't know if it'd be exactly everything people like AOC would want, because there are some moderate Democrats there that they'd have to get through, and there'll be Republicans as well, and there's a legislative filibuster. We'll see if they try to get rid of that or want to get rid of that. But that is why those two Georgia Senate races are so important, because John Kerry's going to be now part of this group as well if Biden gets there, and now he's coming in as climate czar.
Yeah, nothing good can come out of this, Jordan. I mean, we know where John Kerry is on this issue. Look, whether it's Green New Deal or Green New Deal Light, which would be bad enough, one thing we do know that he would do is advise that the incoming president rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. I mean, Jordan, if that's not bad enough, you don't even have to get all the way to Green New Deal to know what John Kerry would say. I think it's yet another example in this foreign affairs space where this group of people, the names that we're hearing coming out, would use that sort of maximum latitude that a president has right in the foreign affairs space, not having to go through Senate, to do an awful lot of damage. Now, Jordan, as you relate it to Georgia, if Democrats pick up those two seats and Vice President Biden transitions into the White House, then the Paris Climate Accord is the least of your concerns right when it comes to this issue.
Right. I mean, that's why we're talking about this, folks. You've got to be realistic. If you're going to be a good warrior for the causes you care about, if it's for conservatism or for the kind of policies that President Trump put forward, the populism and America First kind of ideas, you've got to be a good warrior. And that means you're going to sometimes have to battle back against bad policies and bad presidents. And you want to have all the tools at your disposal possible. You could have a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate that can, again, make the Paris Climate Accord kind of the worst of where they could go. Instead of, as Than just said, and Wes, I mean, that could be the least of your worries if you got a Green New Deal. And economically, that could be disastrous for America.
I take very, very seriously the hair stood up on my neck when I heard it when Chuck Schumer says, first we take Georgia and then we change America. I'm not sure
America.
I want to change America the way Chuck Schumer does.
No, I don't think you do want that, folks. But you also, we got to be in this battle right now. Do not just assume that things are going to turn out the way you want them to. That's not how the world works. That's not what the Bible teaches either when it comes to worldly affairs. It's going to turn out the way you want. Prepare for battle. Always be ready. Always be ready. Support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org, during this matching challenge month of November.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. You know, as a time and a week, as we celebrate everything we are thankful for with our families, with our friends, loved ones. I know some people have got these unbelievable restrictions that they are supposed to be abiding by. So it can be a difficult time, but it's still a time to give thanks. And we give thanks to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, Thanksgiving, regardless of who we were able to get together with or if it was a normal Thanksgiving, which it certainly is not. And in a time when the country's kind of in turmoil about the election still, and we're involved with that, of course, at the ACLJ and the integrity of your vote. But we wanted to show you some of the unique and impactful things the ACLJ is working on right now. And the broadcasts this week are going to focus on some of the things that we do at the ACLJ. And sometimes you might rarely hear about, especially this last year, when we have impeachment and we had an election, and of course that election is kind of still going on as we speak right now. This is sometimes you don't get the same focus. We brought in a lot of new audience too because of our work on this separately from the ACLJ for President Trump as his attorneys. So there's a lot of people who are still learning about what the ACLJ really is all about, from taking on early on the deep state from the days of the Obama administration. And of course, fighting back under the Trump administration and preparing, if necessary, to fight back against the deep state under a Biden administration. We've launched a brand new program for children, you know, that is, and it's great. I think it's really kind of like pre-K, because my daughter is a kind of pre-K age. She loves it, all the way up to about like 10 years old or so, educating them. It's called Bald Beagle. You're going to learn about that in these broadcasts during the holiday. And we've also got a lot of updates on protecting the unborn that we have not gotten to recently on the broadcast. You know, there's a lot you can see at aclj.org about all the work we're doing all of the time at the American Center for Law and Justice. But we wanted to highlight some of the issues that we maybe didn't get to spend enough time on during this election year, during this time when we had so much a controversy post-election. So let me encourage you. I really want you to listen to these shows, watch these shows, share these shows with your friends and family so that they learn about the ACLJ. Now, this is a critical time for us, the American Center for Law and Justice, because it's the end of our matching challenge month of November. That ends November 30th. And what a matching challenge month is and why it's so important for the ACLJ is that we have a group of donors in a matching challenge month that agree before the month begins to match every individual donation that comes through to aclj.org. So if you make a donation right now at aclj.org and you do it because you love the broadcast, or you do it because you love the pro-life legal work we do, or the government affairs work we do on Capitol Hill, or the international work, or you just love all of it, and the constitutional protections, protecting your constitutional rights that we do at the ACLJ in the courts around the country, and of course, protecting freedom around the world and defending freedom around the world. If you support the work of the ACLJ, this is a great time. If you've been thinking about it, if you're able to make a financial contribution to the ACLJ, why is that? Well, let's say you could just, you know, you're able to donate $10 right now to the ACLJ, and that's what you donated at aclj.org. That's all you're charged on your credit card. But because you did it during a matching challenge month, this month in November, it is effectively doubled. So that $10 is like $20 for us at the ACLJ. $25 is like $50. $50 is like $100. $100 is like $200. You can do the math. You understand. But it's a great time for us because if you donate, we're prepared not just for the battles we're fighting right now, but for the battles we're prepared to fight in 2021. And we are doing that as we speak right now at the American Center for Law and Justice. So let me encourage you, donate now at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Another major pro-life victory out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, an en banc panel. And this en banc panel, 11-member majority, Judge Priscilla Owen writing the opinion for that en banc panel. Four of the judges that participated in that en banc panel are Trump nominees. He nominated six to this court. One had to be recused. One joined the court too late. But it just shows you how the courts have been changed and are still in the process of that change. We talked about with Dan Bennett, there's still more nominees that will be confirmed regardless of who becomes president in January. That there will be more Trump nominees confirmed to the federal bench. Frank Mannion is joining us again, senior counsel with the ACLJ, because Frank, I want to take people through, again, what happened in the Sixth Circuit and then what happened in the Fifth Circuit. These are battles that we have been fighting, Frank, this case, the Fifth Circuit, dates back to the Obama years of 2015.
Right, that's right. The point you're making, which I think is something that people have to know, is that these pro-life victories don't come overnight. And we weren't getting very many pro-life victories for years. Cases, because it's the right thing to do. We make the arguments and we go into court and we get shot down. But with this latest batch of appointments that we're seeing to the federal courts of appeals, it's a whole new day. I mean, whatever ends up happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, for pro-life litigators, it is morning in America. And it looks like it's going to be that way for a long time. Because remember, federal judges have lifetime appointments. They don't run for office every 4 years or every 8 years. They're there for as long as they want, as long as God wants them there. And so this is a whole new day. 2 days in a row, we're talking about Court of Appeals pro-life victories. This is unprecedented.
You know, I want you, so let's just explain that to people because everybody doesn't listen each day. That was at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. We were asked by it's a case out of Tennessee. We were asked by the Tennessee Attorney General directly for the ACLJ to get involved, write a brief, amicus brief in that case. Explain just quickly that victory, and then we'll move on to the new victory today.
Right. In that case, the court ruled in favor of the state of Tennessee with regard to its ban on abortions for race, gender, and Down syndrome diagnosis. Again, there are courts of appeal decisions out there that go the other way. But this is a new day, and this is a huge victory for the cause of life. And we get news out of Texas, out of the Fifth Circuit, that the states of Texas and Louisiana are allowed to disqualify Planned Parenthood as a Medicaid provider. There are courts of appeals around the country. In fact, the majority of them go the other way. The Fifth Circuit now joins the Eighth Circuit, which, of course, sets up the classic circuit split, which is the kind of case the Supreme Court takes. These decisions weren't happening 4 years ago, or even 2 or 3 years ago, before some of these recent appointments actually got on the bench. But we are seeing a whole turnaround in what federal courts are going to do on the issue of life. And the other thing to remember is these cases build on factual records that the ACLJ in its litigation over the years, sometimes even in losing litigation, has established. The cases out of Texas, Louisiana are based on the CMP videos, Center for Medical Progress. We represented a board member of the Center of Medical Progress. There were cases filed in Texas against Planned Parenthood for billing practices that we were involved in years ago. All of these are part of the case that we saw out of Texas and Louisiana, and that's kind of the nature of what we do. It doesn't happen overnight, but we're now seeing the fruits of our labors finally.
So let's move on. So we got the Sixth Circuit. Now to the Fifth Circuit. This was an en banc panel. Cases out of Texas and Louisiana, but it also affects Mississippi now, their opinion. And tell people about this. We briefly told people about this is a way that states can actively defund Planned Parenthood. Tell people about this victory because it took going to the en banc panel of the Fifth Circuit.
Right. And here's the significance of that. The first time this case was argued, the states lost in a 7-7 tie. En banc means all of the judges of a particular circuit. Normally, courts of appeals make decisions based on 3-judge panels. But when there's an issue of exceptional importance that more members of the court think that they need to weigh in on, they convene the entire court called the en banc court. And in this case, it was, I believe, 16 judges. Well, a few years ago, before the recent Trump appointments, the case lost. Our side lost 7-7. And now we have an 11-5 victory. Shows the importance of judicial appointments.
You know, I think that this, again, I want to go to Than Bennett, too, because, Than, we look at this. President Trump's nominated and confirmed 6 new judges to the Fifth Circuit. 4 of them were participating yesterday. One had to recuse. One joined too late. But there are more coming as well to the federal bench. I mean, this is, again, it's breathing new life into the battle for life that the ACLJ has been engaged in since our founding.
Yeah, all across the country, Jordan. I mean, first of all, there are 3 circuit courts that have flipped majorities outright. The 2nd, the 3rd, and the 11th. There's another court like the 9th, which notoriously has been the most difficult circuit court for us to litigate in. That 10 of those 29 judges have now been nominated by President Trump, Jordan. And we've seen good rulings come out of there because, you know, the closer that spread is, the more likely it is that you're going to get a good draw out of it. And then you have cases like the 5th Circuit that Frank just talked about, where it's not necessarily been a flip. But it was a draw and the last time this same case was heard, and now it's an overwhelming 11-5 win. And Jordan, that was without one of the Trump nominees even getting to hear the case because of joining it too late and another being recused. So just dramatic improvement. And again, you want to talk about continuing to work through the end of the deadline here, because the Senate is still in session. They're going to be in session through Christmas, mostly in. They have a number of these hearings that still have to be moved out of committee and then onto the floor. So there's a lot lot of other things that we're looking at, Jordan, and this is something that you and I discussed. There's the ongoing election litigation. There's the potential transition that's moving forward. But Jordan, as Frank mentioned, these are judges that would have lifetime appointments on the federal bench. They've been nominated by President Trump. They are currently sitting in the United States Senate, and the United States Senate has full constitutional authority to consider them and confirm them. And no matter how those other things shake out, Jordan, they would sit on the federal bench for the rest of their lives or until they retired. That is absolutely something that is worth fighting for. And it yields, Jordan, results.
You know, I'd say that, you know, these cases, Frank, to me, it just underscores how you can continue to fight for life and see victories regardless of who's in the White House in January. These states began this battle under the Obama administration, a hostile administration to life. We may have another hostile administration to life. We don't know yet, but we might in the Biden administration. And if we do, though, these are battles that are waged in court, and the courts have been fundamentally changed because of what President Trump has done. And we're able to take a much more kind of aggressive approach to these cases across the country, because other states will now look at this, states that have kind of pro-life majorities in their state legislatures, their governors, and say, you know what, these aren't just going to be cases legislation that we pass because we feel like it's the right thing to do, and then we're going to have to fight it out in court and probably likely lose. Now it's hey, we can fight this out in court and likely win.
What a refreshing change that is, Jordan. I mean, I can't tell you how many meetings or phone calls or conference calls I've been on over the years with your dad and others at the ACLJ where we talked about, well, we could bring the case, but we're going to lose. Let's save our ammunition for another court somewhere else. It's a whole new day. I mean, we have a chance in basically every single federal circuit now that we didn't have before, and I'm excited about it.
What you just said there is so important. Again, it kind of underscores what Thanta, every federal circuit. It's not like the Ninth Circuit is not the Ninth Circuit of 2012. Let's put it that way, Frank.
Exactly. I mean, it's not, you know, it hasn't flipped, but the idea of bringing a case on behalf of life in the Ninth Circuit in past years was just sort of tilting at windmills. Well, there's nothing wrong with tilting at windmills, but it's nice to win once in a while. And I think we finally have the chance to do that, and it's a good chance.
I mean, so we're looking at ways states can defund Planned Parenthood. We're looking at, and by the way, they're defunding Planned Parenthood because utilizing those videos they saw of how Planned Parenthood was misusing funds and carrying out abortions the wrong way so that they could sell, you know, body parts, things like that of aborted babies. That's what these states base their defunding on. Why are they defunding this way through Medicaid? And then you've got an en banc panel saying, you can do that now. And you can do that now in Texas, in Louisiana, in Mississippi. And I think it'll encourage other states to pass similar laws. They'll be challenged by Planned Parenthood, but they know they've got a much more friendly, it's not 100%, but a more friendly federal court system. And then, of course, and we're going to talk about the next segment, all the way to the top at the Supreme Court, too. So, Frank, just quickly, I think this just, it kind of shifts how we're working on all these cases, but it shifts how we'll be approaching, even regardless of who the president is, how we'll be approaching these cases and working with state legislatures and governors that are pro-life to get things done.
Yeah, it's a whole new day for the pro-life cause. It really is, thanks to these judicial appointments going forward.
Think about that. I thank Frank for joining us again today. Jeff Surtees will be joining us the next segment to talk about how this may end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. But understand that, folks. It's a new day and a new battle. Let's be ready for the battle. Let's be ready to file. Let's be ready to assist those states and those governors. Support the work of the ACLJ. Pro-life cause is one of our top causes. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to remind people about that. I just wanted to get that information out to you about these back-to-back pro-life victories in the Sixth Circuit and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. As you heard from Frank Mannion, I mean, this is kind of a new day for the pro-life movement when it comes to battling in court, supporting good state legislation. We work with states all the time on this legislation to make it the best possible because we know it will be challenged in court. So getting it ready. In the case out of the Sixth Circuit, of course, we worked with the Tennessee Attorney General directly asked us to come and be involved. This case out of the Fifth Circuit dates back to 2015, and the states kept going back, kept fighting. And the judiciary significantly shifted within the Fifth Circuit to a point where when it went en banc, it wasn't at the three-judge panel, went en banc, they won 11-5 to be able to stop funding, to be able to defund Planned Parenthood through Medicaid. Jeff Surtees, also senior counsel with us, the ACLJ, works on a lot of the pro-life issues with us, is also joining us right now. If you want to talk to us in there, you've got questions about this, 1-800-684-3110. Because, Jeff, what I wanted to focus on with you is, after we discuss this with Frank, is that ultimately these cases that involve the abortion issue make their way almost all of the time to the U.S. Supreme Court. Do you see this, the case we're talking about today, that of the Fifth Circuit, and likely the one out of the Sixth Circuit, too, ultimately being before the Supreme Court?
I really do, Jordan. Let's just take the decision from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals regarding Planned Parenthood funding. We now have what we call a split in the circuits regarding that issue, whether or not Planned Parenthood can sue under federal law to question a state's determination that they are no longer a qualified provider under the Medicaid law. And you have a split in the circuits where you've got the Fourth Circuit, the Sixth, the Seventh, the Ninth, and the Tenth, all saying that Planned Parenthood does, in fact, have that right. But now with the Fifth Circuit's decision, you've got the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, you've got the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals saying that no, Planned Parenthood doesn't have that right. Now, because we're dealing with the interpretation of federal law, and because we have a clear split in the circuits, with a majority of the circuit courts of appeals having ruled on this very issue, the Supreme Court, as much as it wants to sort of avoid controversy at times, is not taking an activist approach to these things. It's not going to be able to ignore this issue much longer. And I imagine that if Planned Parenthood does go ahead and file a cert petition with the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court is not going to turn away that cert petition. But that's the strategy position that Planned Parenthood has to make here. We're now looking at, with, you know, Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Barrett now on the court, they got to be wondering whether or not they now have a chance before the United States Supreme Court to prevail on that issue. And if they take that case up to the Supreme Court and they lose, then that's going to directly undermine the victories that they have scored in all those other circuit courts of appeals that I have mentioned. So going back to what you were talking about earlier with Frank, the legacy of President Trump, and hopefully this legacy will continue, has been enormous. Now that we have one-third of the United States Supreme Court having been appointed by President Trump.
And a third of the circuit court judges have been appointed by President Trump. I mean, it's a major shift. And Jeff, I want to get to that point you just made, and we are taking people's phone calls. Linda wrote it on Facebook. She's listening in Sacramento. Thank you, ACLJ, for the work you do to protect the preborn. We appreciate that, Linda. We appreciate you listening and your support. But I want to go back to, because now Planned Parenthood has to make a decision that used to not be so difficult for them, which is, Jeff, if they take it to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court rules against them and says, yeah, all the states can do what Texas and Louisiana did, then there's about 26 states I can point to right now, because they're Republican state legislatures and governors who would probably, knowing that it's not going to face the kind of, that they've got Supreme Court precedent backing them, if Planned Parenthood loses, that this could be where more than half the states in the country are able to defund Planned Parenthood through Medicaid, or if it's the sex selective abortion out of the Sixth Circuit, or Down syndrome focused abortion out of the Sixth Circuit. I mean, they have a different calculation to make.
Yeah, they have a much different calculation to make. As I was saying, and as you were just saying, you know, if Planned Parenthood runs to the Supreme Court here, as used to be the knee-jerk reaction with these types of issues, and the Supreme Court rules against Planned Parenthood, and of course, you know, who knows what the Supreme Court's going to do, but if you were to read the tea leaves, I think at least the state of Texas here would have a very good chance indeed, then Planned Parenthood stands to lose a lot of the victories that it has won in these other circuit courts of appeals. Planned Parenthood will have an uphill battle in other states, Republican-run states, that want to go forward with defunding Planned Parenthood. So they have a huge strategy decision to make here, given the fact that one-third of the Supreme Court are now Trump appointees. And, you know, that further emphasizes the issue, you know, going back to the courts of appeals judges themselves. And, you know, as you were discussing with Frank earlier on the show, you know, it used to be that, well, in certain circuits, the Ninth Circuit at one time, the Sixth Circuit, the Fifth Circuit at one time, you know, you just really didn't have a very good shot if you were engaging in pro-life litigation. And now it's a new day in those circuit courts of appeals. So, yeah, Planned Parenthood has a big old decision to make here. And this is why, going back to what you've been talking about with Than on the radio in previous episodes, you know, this is why that those special elections in Georgia matter so much. If the Democrats get control of the Senate, and assuming Biden does become president, of course we don't know that for certain yet, then those judges, then they're going to push their judges through as well. So,
yeah, and then, you know, there's also that court packing question, which again would take action by Congress. And we know this came in through a YouTube question. Can Joe Biden pack the court? Well, a lot of that, I mean, Jeff, you just mentioned, I'll go to Than Bennett. Than, this is going to, a lot of that will be based on where the Senate goes and these Georgia runoffs, because it's not going to happen if it's Mitch McConnell in control of the U.S. Senate and Republican majority. And it might, I don't know if it could happen with just a one or two seat majority, but we do know, Than, that Joe Biden has pledged to put together a committee to look at increasing the numbers on the Supreme Court. So he's looking at it.
Yeah, both of these issues are absolutely on the ballot in Georgia. Jeff is absolutely right. If Democrats would pick up both of those seats and a Biden administration would take the White House, Jordan, there's no doubt that a legislative filibuster and then a court packing scheme would be on the agenda. Now, we know from previous efforts on this exact issue that it can be hard with a narrow majority. You know, Senator John McCain infamously denied the defunding of Planned Parenthood through his vote in the reconciliation process. But Jordan, that process would be open to Democrats in that scenario.
Let me encourage you to be a part of our matching challenge month of November. And I'm telling you right now, if you're able to donate $5, that makes a huge impact. Because if 100 of you donate $5 during a matching challenge month, okay, that's again, that's $500. But actually, during a matching challenge month, that becomes $1,000 to ACLJ, because we have a group of donors before the month of November who say, you know what, we'll match everything that is donated to you in the month of November. Now it's up to us and you to raise that, to get those donations so that they have to match it. Let's make sure those matching donors have to match quite a lot this month, because I think we're going to have to prepare for some real warfare legal, government affairs, internationally, using everything that we've got at the ACLJ, including our voice on radio and television and the experts behind that and the production that we have, all of that we've got to prepare for. We can be even that much more strong, even that much more prepared with your financial support. Donate and double the impact of your donation right now at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you next time.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.